1 Chronicles 19. It happened after this that Nahash, the king of the children of Ammon, died, and his son reigned in his place. David said, I will show kindness to Hanun, because his father showed kindness to me. So David sent messengers to comfort him concerning his father. David's servants came into the land of the children of Ammon to Hanun to comfort him. Well, I like the way that David was always looking for opportunities to show grace. You remember that there was a time after he was established as king when he said, is there anybody left of the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness or grace? And it's the same here. He thinks, Hanun's father has died. Poor guy, he must be in grief. I will seek to comfort him. So he's trying to live a life of grace, of looking for opportunities to show grace. And that's what we should do. Because God has shown us so much grace, and we should be looking proactively for opportunities to show it to others. So think about opportunities to be kind to people. Not just wait for them to sort of cross your path, but think, how could I be kind and show grace to somebody else? But, as often happens, when you try to be nice to people, it often doesn't work. No good deed goes unpunished. But the princes of the children of Ammon said to Hanun, do you think that David honours your father and that he sent comforters to you? Haven't his servants come to you to search, to overthrow, and to spy out the land? So Hanun took David's servants, shaved them, cut off their garments in the middle, even to their buttocks, and sent them away. Then there went some people and told David how the men had been treated. He sent to meet them, for the men were greatly ashamed. The king said, stay at Jericho until your beards have grown, and then return. When the children of Ammon saw that they'd made themselves odious to David, Hanun and the children of Ammon sent 1,000 talents of silver to hire chariots and horsemen for Mesopotamia. So they hired 32,000 chariots and the king of Maacah and his people, who came and encamped before Medeba. And the children of Ammon gathered themselves together from their cities and came to battle. When David heard of it, he sent Joab and all the army of the mighty men. The children of Ammon came out and put the battle in array at the gate of the city. The kings who had come were by themselves in the field. Now when Joab saw that the battle was set against him before and behind, he chose of all the best men of Israel and put them in array against the Syrians. The rest of the people he committed into the hand of Abishai his brother, and they put themselves in array against the children of Ammon. He said, if the Syrians are too strong for me, then you're to help me, but if the children of Ammon are too strong for you, then I will help you. Be courageous and let us be strong for our people and for the cities of our God. May Yahweh do that which seems good to him. Well, I suppose we can take the lesson from that we should do what is humanly sensible and do our best, but above all, trust in God to use it. Like if you're sick, you go to a doctor and you do what is required, but above all, far more than that, you trust in God. You could also read it, and it's interesting how the Bible is sort of open sometimes to different interpretations and readings. You could say, well, Joab should have had more faith. He seems to say, well, let's do our best and, well, whatever God wants to happen is going to happen. Well, I think you can go a bit further than that and not just assume that, yeah, what's going to happen is going to happen. You can ask God for help, and maybe Joab might have asked God for help a bit more here rather than just saying, well, let's do our best and, well, whatever God wants to happen is going to happen. So Joab and the people who were with him drew near before the Syrians to battle, and they fled before him. When the children of Ammon saw that the Syrians had fled, they fled before Abishai his brother and entered into the city. And then Joab came to Jerusalem. So all this happened all because David apparently genuinely wanted to do something kind for somebody. And it all went so wrong. And that, again, will be our experience. You try to do your best for people, but it so often goes wrong. And that is, I suppose you could say, what happened really in God's suffering in the death of his son, that he sent his son primarily to be the king of Israel, but they killed him. When the Syrians saw that they were defeated by Israel, they sent messengers and drew forth the Syrians who were beyond the river Euphrates, with Shophak, the captain of the army, at their head. It was told David, and he gathered all Israel together, passed over Jordan, and came on them, and set the battle in array against them. So they fought, and the Syrians fled before Israel, and David killed of the Syrians 7,000 charioteers, 40,000 footmen, and killed Shophak, the captain of the army. When the servants of Hadadezer saw they were defeated by Israel, they made peace with David and served him, and from then on the Syrians wouldn't help the children of Ammon. Well, we read in the previous chapter, chapter 18, of how David had had a big fight with a king called Hadadezer, and he captured 1,000 chariots and 7,000 horsemen. And David actually got rid of all those chariot horses, because that's what the law of Moses said he should do. He kept a few of them, just 100. And that's because God wanted his people to trust not in physical horses and chariots, but in the horses and chariots of God's cherubim, of God's hosts of angels fighting for his people. Well, David would have thought, now these guys are coming against me with loads of chariots. If only I'd have kept those chariots that I took from Hadadezer. But no, he'd gotten rid of them. And that was good. And from God's point of view, and therefore God came through for him. All the more worldly-minded people would have said, there you are, David, what a fool you were. You got loads of chariots and chariot horses, and you really need them because all these guys have got loads and loads of chariots and horses, and you haven't really got anything, any chariots and horses. You got rid of them. You should have kept them, you foolish man. But no, he did the right thing by faith, and so God gave him the victory. And that comes true time and again in our lives, that you do the right thing that in the eyes of the world might seem stupid and foolish and unwise. You save your money and then you go and spend it or give it away to something to do with the Lord's work. And people say, how stupid, you worked and saved your money. You could have bought yourself this, that or the other. And you went and gave it to someone who was in need. How stupid. But no, God has a way of rewarding our desire to serve him and our desire to be generous and our desire to live the life of faith. And he does come through for us.